Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool, is it shit?
Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit?
Welcome to the editor's meeting.
Okay, welcome guys.
Welcome to the cool shit.
Welcome to the cool shit podcast.
Ginny, what are you doing?
I'm now hosting. I'm the captain now.
What? No, wait. Can we just back up here? Since when?
Since today. It's 2023. I know you've already had two podcasts.
Yeah.
But number 36, you know what I say about number 36.
Are you standing me down?
I am. It's now me.
Like, seriously?
James looks absolutely fuming.
No, I'm just shocked that you've gone into a rehearsed bit to start this.
And
frankly, I'm a little bit embarrassed to be around either of you.
So you are, like, you know, you're going to be a host of this. I'm still going to be producing.
So you're going to be an executive producer, basically.
I will be
which
an executive
means you're gonna do,
producer.
You're gonna
and
do
I'll
nothing.
Still be on it. I'm like, no, it's actually, it's a lot less pressure when you're a guest, I feel. Yeah. You've sat on both,
yeah,
both
I love being a guest, but I thought I'm on here so often. I kindly accepted when Gareth asked, do you want to start hosting or start getting more involved in the hosting? It doesn't mean it's going to be every single week. I'm going to have my supporting act, Gareth.
I'm your understudy.
There you go.
Okay, great. All right, cool. So, like, is this actual official handing over the reins now? Like, I mean, like, so can I just stand down for the rest of the episode?
You can, yeah. You.
I just relax.
You can relax. Oh, sit back.
Oh, fucking hell. All right, over to you, Gina. Go on.
Well, welcome, guys, to episode 36. We've got Gareth, as you probably already
yeah,
heard.
Wow, yeah, me. Wow, yeah, there you go.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You're happy to be a guest?
I'm happy
to
be a guest.
But we've been told to get on with it, so let's
skip this part.
Let's
just get on with it, yeah.
And we also have James, who's editor-in-chief of the Cool Shit newsletter and the podcast. How are you, James? How are you feeling about this new news?
Yeah, ecstatic. I'm very excited to be here. Not as excited as our guest, though.
Yeah, we've got something new and fresh. Hi, Jade.
Hello.
Do you want to give us a little intro?
I'm Jade, art director at Zach. I've been really looking forward to coming on. I've practically been begging to be on this podcast.
You have not. You were in a foul mood the moment that you found out that you might even appear. Then you spent the rest of the time trying to manifest something happening to the podcast so it didn't go ahead today, so that you didn't have to be on it. Let's be honest, right?
It's all a facade. I feel like I'm made for the podcast life and it was all just fake.
Hashtag podcast life.
How can you tell when Jade's in a bad mood or a good mood?
she quite often says things she doesn't want to do. She talks a lot about things she does want to do, and she's quite vocal about the things she doesn't want to do as well. It's no magic to it, James. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, like me picking up on signals. She says it, all right? She talks with her mouth, all right?
There we go. I'm just an open and honest person.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Okay. Yeah, so obviously you're excited to be here. Have you been on a podcast before?
I haven't, no. This is my first time.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
We're excited to have you.
Go easy on me.
I'll refer to my previous comment of get on with it.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. Right, we'll get on with it then, James. What have you got?
Oh, shit, yeah, sorry, I forgot.
Oh, yeah, the tables have turned.
I genuinely forgot get on with it meant I'd have to say something. Right, so something we haven't really spoken about before on this podcast, AI. And I'm being sarcastic because we talk about it all the fecking time. But I think we've seen kind of a technology had been replacing, I guess, kind of manual jobs for quite a while. But now it seems that kind of, well, ChatGPT and things like that are replacing white-collar workers. And this month, the first AI-powered robot lawyer will represent a defendant in court.
And how's that going to work?
Well, I'll allow me to consult the article and I'll tell you.
Surely you should have been more prepared.
Well, I'm not.
Oh, I like this new. I like the whip. I like that. I like
I'm
it.
I'm slightly thrown off by everything that's happened in the last few
it's
minutes.
It's too much, baby. It's overwhelmed.
So I'll tell you. I'll tell you exactly what happened.
I'm trying to find it.
Right. So it's a company. And
oh my God. I'm so glad you're so informed.
And they've got an AI. It runs on a smartphone, listens to arguments in the court, formulates responses for the defendant, and then communicates those responses in real time through headphones.
So can I just get this right? So I'm the defendant, yeah, I'm being accused of a crime. I go into court, someone says basically legal gobbledygook to me, and I'm like, oh no, I'm not gonna answer that. And a robot in my ear goes, Gareth, say that
objection.
You,
yeah, exactly. That's all stuff. Filibuster.
That is not in the Third Amendment.
Yes, exactly. So what a lawyer would ordinarily do on your behalf, you will now be able to do on your own, courtesy of an earpiece, saying what a lawyer would typically be saying.
Okay, are we happy, Capiche? Gina, with his explanation?
I don't really understand it. But maybe that's because you weren't very prepared in explaining the story.
I feel like we've explained it fairly well.
Yeah, Gareth explained it, yeah.
Wow, welcome to the Cool Shit Podcast. I'm just taking over now because I think the latest host has gone to war with the editor in chief.
You're making it sound like I did it. I'm just reading.
All right, so when is this happening and what's the first case where this is going to be used?
So the thing is, Gina, you're asking for an awful lot of details. I generally deal with feelings and vibes and half-truths.
Vibes.
Don't tell me you've got feelings. Don't try that.
I have feelings.
Every once in a while, you try to insist you have feelings. And we know
feelings.
You don't.
I have feelings.
You've got zero feelings.
I've got an earpiece right now telling me to say that I have feelings.
Say you have feelings.
The company is called Do Not Pay.
Okay.
So I think it's for like... You know, like parking fines and stuff, the ones that aren't given by the council, so they're not technically legally enforceable, but you just have to deal with getting loads of letters. No, just me, because I just ignore those. So it's basically on behalf of those people. So I don't think any of these people will be like the proper awful criminals, but still.
So I've got a question on this story. So currently, as a defendant, am I allowed to go into court? This is in the States, right? Yeah. Am I allowed to go into court with a phone and they ask me a question and I go, oh, 1 second, I'm just going to Google that. Actually, no, by law, I don't have to answer that. Is that allowed? Because it seems to me that's basically what this... It's a similar thing. Like, AI is going to be collating data, isn't it, from what it can access on the internet and whatever program it has that is up to date on what the latest law is saying,
well,
right?
That's the thing, because I do question how this works. Because in fairness, because I'd be surprised if you'd be allowed to just be on the phone to a lawyer and him tell you stuff.
That was my point. It feels like it's cheating.
It is cheating a bit. Sorry, what was your question?
My question is, are you allowed to, you know, take time in court at the moment if you're a defendant to kind of go, wait a sec, I've just brought an encyclopedia with me. Let me just check out, like, you know, what I'm going to say next.
It's legal in some courtrooms. It's currently not legal in some.
Is it being tested out then?
Yes, exactly.
For now.
What's it called?
Do Not Pay is the name of the company.
Presumably you're going to have to pay for it though. It's a silly name, isn't it?
Probably, yeah.
So it's not free, is it?
Well, it's free at the moment because they're trialling it. And
right.
The Do Not Pay kind of applies to like fines and stuff.
It's probably something like Do Not Pay American. For a lawyer, like pay for a piece of AI.
This is just, as soon as I see the word robots, I get scared because every like bad horror
sci-fi.
But
James doesn't. He's got an affinity with robots.
Yeah, you do like robots.
It's an emotional affinity.
I'm actually quite frightened of robots. But this is the thing, because this week we had to, somebody who would be a guest on the podcast next week potentially, we had to have Pablo find all of the stories, and he found a lot of stuff that was to do with AI and technology, basically. Because it seems like with each passing week, pretty much every story could just
be,
here's another job that won't exist in 10 years.
Yeah, because we had the stripper. Not a robot stripper. A robot bouncer for a strip club.
Pretty soon, yeah.
That was last week, a couple weeks ago.
Bird's Eye, you familiar? Actually, this makes sense. I just realised, here's some relevance. We have a vegetarian, vegan, you? What are you?
So I'd say vegetarian, however, I do eat fish fingers every now and again, so technically pescatarian.
So Bird's Eye is super relevant for you.
It's so relevant to me, I can't wait to hear it.
I love the enthusiasm.
There you go, and we've got another, you're not a vegetarian, and nor are you, but you both try to be occasionally.
I try really hard to be.
So Bird's Eye have released a campaign for Veganuary, which features kind of doctored photos of a load of recognisable faces, notably the Prince and Princess of Wales, tucking into their vegan range of fish fingers.
Why them?
Why them? Well, I think they're very, very... Again, you're asking questions like, I made this. I'd imagine...
Why do you think Bird's Eye?
I'd imagine because they're particularly relevant at the moment. And right in now. The image, they're tucked up tightly in bed reading Spare by Prince Harry, which has just become the highest-selling non-fiction book of all time. So I think they're trying to tap into that particular cultural zeitgeist in a kind of tongue-in-cheek or fish-in-cheek sort of way.
Yeah, and they use like a famous photographer for this who's known for taking photos of like fake celebrities, lookalikes.
Well, I believe Gareth was banging on earlier about how he's actually familiar with this this lady photographer.
She's not really a photographer. She calls herself an artist, Alison Jackson. She was very big in sort of early noughties. She had a couple of sort of books out, and there was a lot of her work around. That's why I'm kind of looking at it and thinking, like, I've seen this all before. She was doing the Royal. She was doing William way back when, like in about 2001. A producer that I used to work with worked with her to make the book. It was a really, really sort of like big selling book at the time. I think it's cool. I mean, have you all looked at it? Yeah. It looks, they do look like the
They do draw the eyes.
But
then
William's teeth are huge in the picture. That's all I noticed.
So they're pretty accurate then.
Yeah. But it's quite random that it's bird's eye. Because when you think of bird's eye, you wouldn't think of them doing something funny, would you?
What do you mean it's random that it's bird's eye? Because it's not random that it's bird's eye for bird's eye, though.
As it's random for bird's eye to take this, do this type of campaign.
Well, I think probably what's happened here is that bird's eye have got a new range, right? Is this vegan shit, right? So they'll have a new team, or, you know, they'll have a new license to act a little bit differently. Isn't bird's eye the captain?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's normally like wholesome family adverts on TV and like kids eating fish fingers after school.
What it kind of reminds me of, do you remember this was ages ago, that Butterkiss campaign to the Wagatha Christie. So I wonder if they've kind of looked at the success of that and thought, okay, how can we kind of relate something that's currently culturally relevant to our new product line? Although this one, it doesn't feel quite as, I guess, tidy and obvious as the kind of eating popcorn, watching the trial kind of thing. But I'd imagine that was probably part of their strategy.
Wow. Jade, what do you think?
With something like this, do you not feel like Will and Kate being in it, can they not sue Birdseye? They clearly have not agreed to be in this.
It's not them, though.
Yeah, but it's their face. It's still
their likeness. It's a topic that's come up quite a lot, like who owns your likeness.
Yeah, with a lookalike. So is it doctor or is it a lookalike?
It's a lookalike, isn't it?
Fucking hell, they are lookalikes, to be fair.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, she does have a fucking massive face.
What the artist does is she chooses people that obviously look similar, but the way in which she shoots it is always very, it's all got a bit of blur.
It looks like a paparazzi photo almost, exactly.
So it creates a vitality to it that feels really real, like it was captured in a moment, but also it hides a lot of sins, so that, like, where they don't look like the person, you're not really focusing on it, because like that does look, I mean, the William looks great. I wouldn't really notice that that's supposed to be Kate,
but I'm saying that's why they kind of covered up her face a little bit.
Yeah. But also Kate's quite generic looking, William isn't, so
there was a Rishi Sunak.
That'll be the generations of inbreeding that'll do that.
There was a Rishi Sunak in there as well, but yeah. I did think that Rishi Sunak wasn't that good.
It wasn't that good because the kid's holding like a maths book or something.
It wasn't as good as this,
especially them holding Harry's book.
So I guess, are you guys, Jade, like James, have you ever seen anything like this? Because for me, like, as I said, like I've seen this the first time round. It doesn't feel particularly new to me, but I guess it's come around again. Does that feel new to you, this sort of thing? It was quite big, like doing lookalikes in the noughties.
I mean, I hadn't seen it before, but now what you're saying, if it's from your youth, then clearly it isn't exactly cutting edge.
I do think it's like borderline on the whole deepfake thing that's going on.
Maybe that's what I'm interested in, mining why that's sort of back. I think it's interesting.
I'm just not sure how it's legal.
It's probably skirting around the edges of legality.
It's borderline like defamation of
character. Are you a royalist or... Like,
no.
Do you like the Royals?
No, but like, that's I'm just concerned. Saying if it was like my face somewhere, and clearly there's beef between Harry and
there's
them.
No beef in this. No beef in this.
Yeah, right. You set that one up quite nicely.
I know, I did. Did it on purpose. I just think it's an obvious sensitive topic, although I guess they're all trained to not say
but
anything
also,
about
this
the...
is with everything going on, this is probably like the last thing that they're worried about. Do you know what I mean? With all the drama and the papers and the interview.
Yeah.
I think they're probably quite happy that someone's actually focusing on them. Do you know what I mean?
And not Harry.
And not Harry. Yeah, exactly. I think they're probably like, oh, there's a great little thing about us. people still like us, right? Yeah, high five. Because they feel to me, both of them, to be honest with you, kind of supremely unrelevant at the moment. I think they're suffering from not seeing, like, what whatever you want to say about Harry, I think he seems like a modernist and they seem perhaps part of the old guard. So I think they might quite like it that they're in this.
Attention.
What? you're just saying literally anything. And Gina's going, they won't like it.
Why?
Why would they like it?
Because it's kind of fun. Okay. And people are engaging with them as opposed to like Harry. I think they'll like it. It brings them into the public eye. It gives them some zeitgeist, which I feel like they're missing.
I think it makes them look even more like kind of old fuddy duddies because they're clearly being used as the kind of the target.
The foil.
Exactly.
I get that.
They're very much the butt of the joke here.
Yeah, but I think like being accused of being racist and all of the other stuff that's coming
out. That's what
I'm
saying. This is
a walk in the park, to be honest with you.
It's sure, if you say
there's
so.
There's a lot of tension in the room today.
I got distracted because I'm just reading. I'm actually on an article from the Daily Mail and all the comments are very funny. First one is, this is more than disgusting, so disrespectful. So that makes me actually quite like
Jade. Jade is a royalist, don't you? You've been there on the Daily Mail comment section. I'm appalled at this. Absolutely appalled. Who owns their likeness?
You couldn't just take someone's face and put them to a brand without their consent.
They're famous, though.
That's what I want.
Yeah, even more so. We can't create a campaign and think, I'm going to put, like, Anthony Joshua's face on it without his asking him.
But she...
You'd get sued.
But the lady's an artist, isn't she? So an artist always have their own rules where they think they can do what they want. So.
Yeah, maybe.
But Bird's Eye are still liable.
Yeah.
Regardless of who they hire.
Jade is passionate. We'll keep you posted on how this develops.
Bird's Eye, you're on the list.
Jade is coming for you.
I'm a robot lawyer.
Come on, Jade.
Okay.
She's just unlocked her phone. She's prepared.
I've got notes, only because I know a lot about the subject. However, when people look at me, I forget. So I want to talk about a TikTok video that's kind of gone viral, and it's the lucky girl syndrome. It is essentially the belief that affirmative mantras and a positive mindset in life will bend everyday events in your favor. So the TikTok video essentially has gone viral for people saying they have this lucky girl syndrome, and it's the reason they've won bets. First time home buyers have gotten their house, they've gotten a raise. And I'm quite passionate about this, as you all are very aware of my manifestations.
Bit of background, Jade's mental.
Yeah, exactly. For the listeners. So when Jade is sort of like selling in an idea to a client and she wants things to look a certain way, she goes into a period of manifesting where she manifests the result that she wants, whereas other creatives just sell the idea. But Jade is sitting there manifesting behind the scenes so that it comes to fruition.
So this story has personal relevance.
Yeah, so I've been like manifesting properly for maybe like a year now. Like energy has gotten me this job. It's gotten where I like live, even down to I manifested my concrete ceilings. So the lucky girl syndrome.
What the fuck was the last thing?
You can't just say that.
I manifested my concrete ceilings.
Hang on.
What the
heck?
I
love concrete, but that's for another podcast. Concrete houses. I love them.
Okay. Have you got?
Oh, but you literally meant a concrete ceiling.
Have you got like polished concrete ceiling or something? Yeah, nice.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was like a metaphor for something.
No, the lucky girl syndrome is basically saying, I'm so lucky everything works out in my favor. And it says that essentially you send out these positive waves of energy.
So
and
you just say it to yourself. And
yeah, it's like an affirmation.
So it's kind of like an extreme form of narcissism.
You know all about that, James.
Like affirmations, you don't have to do. It's just a mindset of knowing you're going to get something, essentially.
Why has the video gone viral, though?
Because a lot of people have since changed their mindset because of this video, and people are kind of duetting it and saying,
and
I've
proof.
Started practicing this, and this happened to me today.
What's the video? Is the video saying to people, guys, you need to, you know, think in your mind that you're the luckiest person?
It can be something so simple, like finding money on the floor. Like, it's like a whole backstory. So, like, manifestation, like, the science data goes back to, like, 1903.
Science data.
There's science behind manifestation.
Okay.
In terms of like energy that you put out returns energy.
It's not.
This is why I didn't want to talk about this on the podcast.
No, this
so
is good. I'm enjoying this.
That was my story.
Can I just talk about that politely? Come on, that's a load of bullshit.
But that's so polite, Gary.
I mean, Anything can say that to me.
I believe in being positive. I believe in luck. I believe in that, you know.
Wait, luck. You believe in luck, and you're saying the same thing.
No, I believe that when you're positive, you know, you can, you know, perceive to be more lucky, but it's because you're taking more opportunity. You're being more.
This is what's interesting. Yeah. The whole manifesting thing. I feel like if you take it that seriously enough that you're willing to sit there and manifest it, then you're probably not just going to do that, and you're going to actually take action to make something happen as well.
Yeah.
So I feel it seemed like mixing, I guess, a correlation up with a causation, I suppose. So even if so you sit in there thinking positively probably doesn't cause it, but that thinking positively might cause something that causes something, if that makes sense.
Energy is not in some sort of like holistic way. What I mean, actual, like, you know, scientific energy. I'm going to put my effort into something. I'm going to make something move. It's, you know, cause and effect, isn't it? Like, because I've manifested in my head that I want this, I'm going to now search for it, which you might not have been if you hadn't been heavily manifesting for a week or so.
Not the case.
No, we tried. No, it's bullshit.
Manifestations, it returns to you at any point. It's not like I'm working on a project and I'm going to do it in LA. Like, manifestations, it comes back to you when the time is right. It's not like an immediate thing.
Do you think it's like a confirmation bias, though? Do you not think, like, if you think positively about something and it happens, and you think, wow, there's proof, like, what about all the things that don't happen? Or do they all happen?
They've all happened to me I've done this, yeah.
Wow, okay. You want to manifest some better stuff, then?
What, like, not coming on this podcast?
Exactly.
Bit of a throwaway story, but it was quite interesting.
Fantastic. Yeah. Great start.
Okay. So, Anna Delvey, do we all know who Anna Delvey was?
Yeah. Top scammer icon.
Yes. So, she is a German-Russian scammer, really called Anna Sorokin, I think. And she basically took the New York society by storm, convinced people that she had big backers, and opened what I can only describe as a sort of like a Soho house.
Yeah, like a members club. Or tried to open it.
Tried to open it, exactly. And the sort of like glitterati around New York really thought that she was the real deal. They thought she was an heiress. They thought that she was, you know, had loads of backing. And she was just using her mouth to do this. There was no money, there was no nothing.
As in speaking, James.
James like popped his head up from the parapet. But she obviously got caught. It was made into a TV show last year. I don't know who produced that. Was that Netflix? Was it? Yeah, it was a Netflix. Yeah.
The acting was shocking.
She's got that crazy voice. The real Anna Delvey is now under house arrest, right? So she's whatever deal that she'd made with the courts for the rest of the time that she's seeing out, the period that she is in incarceration for, it's going to be in her house. Now, she has now struck up a deal that she is going to have a reality TV show that's going to be played week in, week out in her house that she's under house arrest, where she invites guests round, again, highfalutin sorts, where she's going to hold a dinner party and guests are going to come round to her house, of which she's in incarceration in, and that she's, you know, struck up a very lucrative deal to do this.
This just makes so much sense that it's
it
her
does.
That can
it
do
make,
this.
It makes
it's
total like, sense.
It's just, look at how her life was before and what she managed to do. She's still managing to do it, even.
I guess why I find this interesting is because she obviously is a very single-minded lady, that she wanted to have success of sorts, that it drove her to just be an out-and-out fantasist and liar. But there is something that I do admire about, like, okay, fuck it, now I'm going to do a reality TV
show.
She's hustling. She's hustling. She's always hustling.
James?
Yeah?
you look like you have thoughts.
I do have thoughts. I have many thoughts, and I'm just editing them. I quite like it. It reminds me of... Okay, so you know, like, Jordan Belfort, the Wolf of Wall Street guy, where he made a load of money, then lost it, went to prison, but then was able to then use that notoriety to then make a load of money again. It kind of reminds me of that, and it makes you think, maybe there are some people, the grifters and the grafters, who just find a way of... Maybe she's been manifesting.
I respect the grifter. I mean that's what I quite like about it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trust her with my silverware.
I wouldn't want to hang out with her or go to one of her dinner parties.
Oh, I would absolutely go to one of her dinner parties.
I don't think me and you are going to be invited.
Yeah,
to dinner
I don't think you're on the list, guys. Sorry to break it to you.
Maybe we'll get a brief to work with
potentially. Should I reach out?
I mean, I'd take the brief.
All power to her.
Yeah.
I don't know how else you'd make money.
What do you mean, how she'd make money?
Because you can't leave your house.
She can't... But this is the point. You're not supposed to make money when you're, like, under
house
arrest.
Yeah.
So, obviously, there's got to be some sort of loophole.
No, but how long is she on house arrest? Because you have to make money at some point to live. You need to eat.
But the TV show are probably paying her, right?
I would believe that she's struck a deal up with the courts because she's saying, I can afford to pay my way and run a house, right? Because they're not going to... You can't just say, like, everyone's on house arrest. Like, all the prisons are on house arrest.
But but it's interesting. I never thought about that. When you're on house arrest, I assume you're allowed to... Yeah, because you'd have to earn a living. I assume you must be allowed to.
Funding you. Like, if you can prove that someone's going to fund you, they're going to, you know, buy your food, pay your rent,
right,
and essentially make sure that the government is not paying, your debt is not being thrown
back. I see.
Back
so it's a privilege reserved for the wealthy. It's house arrest.
But she's not rich.
Rich people that are on, like,
but she's not rich. Remember?
She's got rich backers,
yeah,
her,
but she's kind of rich in a, even if she doesn't have anything in her bank account, there's a kind of fugazi, it's a woozy, it's a wazzy sort of wealth.
How long have you waited to play that in a podcast?
About 3 seconds.
So I think that she would have had wealthy backers. And why does she have wealthy backers? I don't know. Like,
she's interesting.
She's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly, people want to be attached
to
her.
She's also kind of harmless. Like, she's not evil. She's just stole people's money. And everyone does that at some point.
Bit of an oxymoron, but...
Well, stealing money isn't that evil.
It's pretty fucking evil.
For rich people.
It's still pretty fucking evil. But you can't steal money from poor people that don't have any.
Yeah, that's also a really good point.
Well, you can, but...
You could steal a bit from loads of poor people, which is what Jordan Belfort did, actually.
That's what I was about to say. Your prior example is exactly that. I'm a fan of it. I'm a fan of that story.
I'm a fan of it. I don't know how cool it is, but that's up to James to decide.
Was that a segue?
That was a segue.
Oh, wow. Well, what an immense privilege it is for me to decide. You know those weeks where you don't really want to put anything in? So what have we had? We've had AI lawyer. I like that, even though you have made me think it's slightly pointless. Bird's Eye campaign. Gareth kind of shat on it because it turns out it was around in the Victorian era. don't know what you're going on about. But I like it. Tell you what, Jade, whatever, if it works for you, then don't listen to Gareth's nonsense. I respect...
Because James said all the nice things
I
about
respect
it.
People's right to believe any utter twaddle that they wish to. And then I'll tell you what, the one that I'm actually kind of in favour of is inventing Anna one, because I like the what I'm going to call the shithousery.
Yeah.
But I'll leave it on a cliffhanger and say people will just have to find out.
And how are they going to find out?
All right, www.zacagency.com/cool-sht/ we will get that changed soon.
Perfect. And thank you, Jade, for joining on your first ever podcast. Do you think you'll be back?
Perhaps.
She's manifesting hard right now to never return.
Thanks, James. And thanks, Gareth.
Thank you, Gina.
Thank you.
No worries.
See you next week.
See ya.
See ya.